Lord Jesus, thank you for being here in our midst, Lord. And we, in the last worship song, we ask that you would prepare us to be a sanctuary. You would prepare us to be the living stones that you're making, that the Father is making into his house, his house. Prepare us, Lord. We know we need to be prepared. We know we need to be conformed, transformed into your image, transformed into what you want us to be that place of rest for the Father, that place of rest for you, and that place of rest for ourselves. And Lord, we need you to do it. We need you to guide us. We need you to strengthen us. We need you to give us wisdom. We need you to give us your grace, Lord, to move through, to be a part of this transformation that you're doing, Lord, so that we don't hinder it in any way, Lord, and that we don't somehow miss what you have for us, that rest in the Father, in you. And so, Lord, tonight, I pray, Lord, that you would speak the words that need to be spoken, not only through me, Lord, but through everyone that's here, Lord. Everyone that's here. We need your Spirit, Lord. We need your Spirit speaking to us, speaking to our hearts, speaking to our minds, speaking to our inner beings, Lord, so that we may be motivated, Lord, to press on in you, Lord, to press on in the preparation that you are doing in making us your sanctuary. So, Lord, please, give us ears to hear. Give us ears to hear. And not in just the hearing the word and being like the man who built his house on the sand, unsure foundation. But we want to hear with the motivation and the idea of building the house on the rock, on you, knowing that we are going to move forward in you, Lord. We're going to move forward like Paul in running that race, trying to grasp that thing for which you have grasped him and grasped us, so that we don't give up and we don't allow the distractions and the hindrances to slow us down. You, Lord. You. It's all about you. So show us tonight, Lord. Show us tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the Lord always seems to be bringing stuff out of what he's doing in my life. As I was praying about the Lord, what do you want, you know, for tonight? And the thing that came to mind was, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And it came in a kind of an unusual way, in one sense. Well, no, it came to me from the Lord. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. And we know all the places, or there's many, many places in Old and New Testament where God says, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. But it, I guess the Lord kind of brought something, revealed something to me, if you will, in a sense of my own personal life and in terms of this idea of being afraid. And I've been reading, I just started reading again, The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. I'm sure many of you probably heard of that book or even read it. I've read it probably three or four times, and this is probably the fifth or sixth time that I've started it. And you know how you read something, and it's good when you read it, but then you read it again, and it's like it's all new. I mean, that's what it seems like in terms of this. You know, Brother Lawrence lived, I believe, in the 1600s. He was a monk, and he practiced the presence of God. I mean, he practiced it. And based on his writings and conversations he's had with people, and he did, if you will, what we're trying to do now in abiding in God, abiding in Jesus, and abiding in him day by day, moment by moment. He did it. Now, you know, he readily admits, I mean, it was the Lord helping him along the way, because he didn't know how. He didn't know how to abide in the presence of the Lord and have the presence of God with him all the time. But he pressed on into the Lord. He pressed on. And he practiced the presence of God. Well, that's what God is wanting for us. And so that kind of hit me, you know. It's like, man, this monk did it, you know, over 300 years ago. And, it, you know, here I am struggling trying to do it for 2 minutes, you know, or 1 minute or whatever. And he's clear in here that, you know, it didn't happen in, you know, a day or two. It took time. It took practice. It took practice. And God was faithful, because Brother Lawrence's heart was towards God. It was towards God. It wasn't trying to... The thing that struck me about him, he wasn't trying to get rid of sin. Okay? That wasn't what he was striving for. He wasn't trying to do all the right things. He wasn't trying to be holy, in a sense, you know, to strive for it. He wasn't trying to, you know, do all these things that we try to do so we can be right with God. His goal was just to be with God. To be with God. And guess what? All those other things I just mentioned happened in his life. They happened. But the thing that struck me was that it's talking about doing God's will and wanting to do God's will, and that he had a fear of doing God's will. He had a fear. We're not talking about, you know, going to the cross or you know, anything horrendous or anything like that, but he just had a fear. And he says it was until he surrendered his whole life. He just surrendered himself to God. No matter what, no matter what the Lord wants, no matter what his will is, I am surrendered to you, Lord. That God began to take that fear away. And what struck me was, in my own life, what God is saying to me, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Not, again, not of the, you know, I might be tortured for Christ, you know, sometime in the future or something like that. That would be a fear, but God was saying, no, not that. He says, don't be afraid where I'm taking you, what I'm doing in your life. And I said, Lord, I am afraid. It's in my nature. I'm afraid. I'm afraid of responsibility and what that entails and what I might have to do, or how I might be, if you will, what's the word I'm looking for? I wanted to say shackled, but that's probably how it feels to me. It's shackled in terms of doing something I may not want to do.
Bondage.
Bondage, yes, bondage, yeah. What I might not want to do. Lord, you say you want to do good for me, or do good things for me and take me to a place of joy, but I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I'm afraid to say, okay, Lord, let's go. Let's do it. I'm afraid. I shrink back, and I have to admit that one of the things that I'm afraid of, and that trips me up a lot of times, is that I'm afraid that the Lord is going to take pleasure away from me. I'm afraid that he's not going to be good to me and not have an enjoyable life. Yeah, that I may not have an enjoyable life. Yes, Mark, that is correct. That I might not have an enjoyable life. That all the things that I strive for to have an enjoyable life, to have pleasure, to have comfort, to have luxury, to have things that are that feel good to me and make me feel good. I have a fear that if I totally surrender to the Lord, that's all going away. That's all going away. And I believe the Lord was saying to me in my inmost being, he was saying, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And when I read that portion in The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence, it was like the Lord said, here's your example. Here's your example. Because Brother Lawrence goes on to say time and time again, as he practiced the presence of the Lord with the Lord being there, it wasn't like, you know, practicing to have some, you know, like, may the force be with you. You know, God, no. The presence of the Lord was an actual relationship with God, talking to God, speaking to God, speaking to Jesus, having a conversation with him, talking to him. It was, and the result was joy in his life. He had joy. It became so he wasn't even afraid anymore of any difficulties that may come. And that's another thing that the Lord was saying, don't be afraid about. And when I say difficulties, I'm not, again, not necessarily talking about the horrendous things that come along. I'm talking about just at work when you've got some project that you're not sure how to do. And I get afraid. And my response is to somehow try to make it go away or try to put it off, you know, because maybe by some way of osmosis or something, I'll figure it out and then be able to do it. I have a fear that crops up. And the Lord is saying, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. But how many of us are afraid? How many of us are afraid? Yeah, I just raised my hand with me. We are. I mean, as God is drawing near to me and to all of you, well, it's like in Revelation, well, last time when we looked at Revelation 1 and John saw Jesus in all his glory. And the only thing he could do was faint away. That's all he could do. He could faint. That's all he could do. And in a sense, it's kind of like the same thing as God is drawing closer to me. He's saying, I am going to transform you. I am going to conform you to my image. I'm going to do it. And the fear creeps up in me that says, oh, but how are you going to do it? How much pain is there going to be? How much, you know, I'm thinking all the unpleasantries that may come with the Lord coming, drawing near, and out of his love and wanting to transform me in into his image. And there's a genuine fear, and the Lord is saying, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. We can't be afraid. I can't be afraid of the Lord coming, drawing near and saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. I can't be afraid. Fear usually means there's a lack of what? Right, Benny, faith. There's usually a lack of faith. Faith. Faith in whom? What's that? Faith in God. Yeah, I know. I mean, it seemed like a simple question, but still, we need to understand. Faith in God. You know, we can know every word in this Bible backwards and forward and know all the doctrine and have it all straight done, you know, can do whatever with it, and yet not have faith in God and be walking in fear. Walking in fear. And the Lord is saying to me, do not be afraid. Yes, the way can be hard. The way can be compressed. He said it's going to be narrow to go through that gate that he's wanting you to go through. It's implying that there's going to be some unpleasantries. But like Brother Lawrence here, he said, as he spent time with the Lord, as he practiced being with the Lord, relating with the Lord, again, not just being in some force that's, you know, around you, but actually being with a person, talking with a person. He talked with Jesus. Jesus talked with him. He relied on Jesus, not as a, like I said, a force or something. Oh, Jesus helped me, and he's something over here that's hopefully will come and rescue me or help me out. It was a person. It was a friend. It was someone he looked to in an intimate way that said, I can't do anything. I need your help. I need your help. I need your help to do this. Or I need your help to do this. Or, you know, when we sin, we tend to worship it. How do I mean by that? Because I do that, unfortunately. We worship it by saying, oh, I just did whatever. Oh, I can't believe I did this. Oh, wow. Oh, I can't. Oh, that was so horrible. Oh, my goodness. I don't know. You know, Lord, can you forgive me? And of course, the Lord is saying, yeah, I forgive you. I forgive you. You know, let's, you know, repent of the thing and let's move on. And so we may even go to the Lord and say, Lord, I confess it to you and I ask your forgiveness and I repent of this thing, Lord. But yet we still dwell on it. God, I didn't know I was that bad. Wow. Whew. Is this thing, I keep doing this thing and wow. That was horrible. Whoa. Man, ooh, I feel so bad. I can't. Man, what if somebody finds out? You know, what am I doing? God just forgave me. God's word says, hey, you confess your sins. Poof, he puts them behind his back, forgets them, doesn't even remember them anymore. And what am I doing? I'm running it through the mill again, and just basically condemning myself, just putting myself down by the fact that I still am. And looking at this thing and how it, and again, how it's making me look, you know, I'm just imagining how, oh, if so-and-so saw this, oh, if so-and-so did, you know, and God has said, what are you doing? We dealt with this. Why are you still messing around with this thing? It's basically worship. It's worship of that sin. And God is saying, don't do that. You know, you've heard Pastor many times say, you know, where we sit there and try to rebuke the devil and, you know, all this stuff. You know, the devil's saying, hey, keep it going because, you know, it's, I like it. You're giving me attention. Well, we're giving attention to the sin as well. Or we're giving attention to the circumstance that's got us all anxious and got us fearful. And the king over here, the one that wants to be your friend and talk to you and say, hey, I can help. What do? We forget he's even there because we're so caught up in our thing. And God is saying, don't be afraid. Confess it. Repent of it. And have faith that it's done as far as that particular thing. And have faith that I'm right here with you saying, hey, let's just enjoy each other's presence. Let's just enjoy talking to one another. What's on your mind? What's on your heart? Do you want to know what's on my mind? What's on my heart? How many would want to know what's on Jesus' heart? You know, what's on his mind? You know, but I'm so caught up in self. I'm so caught up in me. I don't have time for anybody. Okay, that's one of my issues anyway, in terms of my personality. But even for God, we don't have time for him. And I don't know about you, but for me, when relationships got close, I started to get fearful. I started to run. And I would run. when someone who I was seeing would want to go further. I'm not talking about sex or anything like that. I'm just talking about they want to go further in terms of a relationship. And man, I would get fearful and run. And it's the same with God for me. He's saying, you're fearful. Don't be afraid. I'm drawing near to you. I'm drawing near to you. Don't be afraid. I'm going to have you do things. I'm going to have you go through things. But don't be afraid. The Bible says the Lord is the author and finisher of our faith. The author and finisher of our faith. I need faith to believe that. I need faith to believe that He is going to transform me. But not just transform me, that He wants a relationship with me. Because see, that's where God is going now. Yes, God is strong. Yes, He's almighty. He's mighty to save. He's bigger than the world. He's bigger than the governments. He's bigger than Obama and Romney and all the whatever. Yeah, we know that. I know that. But sometimes I think He's too big for me to relate to. It's kind of like the idea of that we kick Him upstairs, you know, like with the doctrine of the Trinity, where He's so far up there that we can't relate to Him. And yet the Lord is saying, no, I'm right here. I'm not up there somewhere, in a sense of, in terms of relating to me. I'm right here with you. And I'm saying, Lord, I don't sense it. I don't believe it. I you got to help me, because you know my situation as it is anyway, that I run from intimacy. And the Lord is saying, do not be afraid. I'm here for you. Do not be afraid. Put your faith in me. And He's saying to me, if you don't have enough faith, ask for it. And so, Lord, I ask for it. I've been asking for that faith, to not be afraid. To not be afraid of you. Of you, Lord. To not be afraid. Because I want to be in that place where you are with the Father, Lord. I want to be in that place where there's no fear. Faith in you, Lord. Faith that I know you will do what you say you're going to do. Faith that I know you do like me. You do want to be with me. You do want to have a relationship with me. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And again, I believe that faith is faith in Him, faith in Jesus, faith in a relationship with Him. I was going to say, you know, about the election and things coming down the road for the United States, and it's not even that. It's not even that, because that, you know, you're just kind of looking for God to save you, protect you, kind of, which is good, and it's not wrong to pray that or anything like that. But it's more than that. God is saying, I'm drawing near because I want you. I want Lloyd. I want Benny and Tony and Mark and Leslie and Bill and Ron. I want you. I want you. But do not be afraid when I draw near. Do not be afraid when I get close. Do not be afraid when I say, hey, honey, come, let's go do this. Let's get this thing done. Do not be afraid. As you know, the Lord is in control of everything. He doesn't allow anything to come to us or happen to us that hasn't passed through His hand, that hasn't come through Him. Doesn't allow anything. Lord, help me not be afraid of that. Help me to not be afraid. To trust You. Your word says in Isaiah 26:3 that You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon You. Perfect peace. Perfect peace. Perfect peace in the Hebrew is basically peace, peace, double peace. Perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon the Lord. Whose mind is focused on Him. As a child, if you were afraid of something, where did you go? You ran to mom and daddy's bed. Can I sleep with you? And then when they said yes and you jumped in the bed, how'd you feel? Nothing can touch me now. Nothing can touch me. That's the same with God. You know, we got our scripture, you know, He's a strong tower. The righteous run into Him and are safe. Same concept. Same concept. Jesus is saying, hey, I'm here for you like daddy and mommy when you jumped in the bed to feel safe. I'm here. Same way. Same way. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. He says He'll never leave us or forsake us. Never leave us or forsake us. Lord, I need faith to believe that. I need faith to believe that and not be fearful that You might leave me. There are people, myself included, that are fearful, even this morning, even today, ministering to someone who felt God, Jesus wasn't there based on how they were feeling, based on what they were going through emotionally. And there was fear there. And there was fear. Jesus doesn't want that. He wants you to be able to face anything. And I'm talking about anything, whether it's a project at work or whether it's a relationship at home. Or a relationship at work that's not going too well. Jesus says, have faith in me that I'm here with you. That I am here so that you can have joy. And that one, I'm still saying, Lord, help me. And He has. He's given me something. He has given me a little of that. But you know, it's hard. It's hard because of everything that we've grown up with. Everything that we've learned in our lives. Even as Christians, even when God got a hold of us as Christians, did we all of a sudden become, you know, rightly related to God? Did we all of a sudden, you know, believe God and everything that, you know, He was doing in our lives? Did we understand everything that God was doing in our lives? Did we even, you know... No, I mean, I look back, you know, at the beginning of my Christian walk there, and man, you talk about naive, clueless. Yes, God did some things. God, you know, He made Himself real in a sense that, yeah, He was there working in my life, but still, it was, I mean, I still operated out of my flesh probably 99% of the time. But as the Lord is drawing near to us and wanting to take that 99% down to some lower numbers and have more of Himself in us, more of Himself operating in us, it's going to take faith in Him. In Him. In Him. It's going to take faith. And the Lord is saying, do not be afraid. Because fear will come. Fear of the unknown. What's He going to do? What's He going to allow? What's going to happen? Hey, what's this situation? I don't know if God can handle this situation. This is pretty big. And the Lord says, no, I can handle it. I can handle it with you, and I can handle it with you having perfect peace in the midst of the situation, in the midst of the difficulty, in the midst of whatever it is that's happening, so that you can have even joy, my joy. And it doesn't necessarily mean joy where you're standing around, jumping around, you know, like some kind of happy fool at a party or something like that, but a joy that says it's inside. It's not circumstantial. It's not, you know, you can be happy when things are going right, real easy. Everything's fine. Hey, I'm happy. But let it turn bad, where does your happiness go? It went with, you know, when the situation turned. God's joy doesn't do that. God's joy in the midst of difficult circumstances, difficulties in terms of what we're trying to struggle with and what we're struggling with, God's joy is there. And He wants to give it to us. He wants to, well, He said so. Abide in me, remain in me, and I will give you my joy. In John 15, I will give you my joy, and your joy will be complete. Now, when Jesus gives you His joy, you got joy. You've got joy. And I experienced a little bit of that, if you will. I experienced a little bit of that. It was some things that God was showing me that I was struggling with. And it was real. It wasn't this, you know, like I said, this flighty, if the situation goes away, now I'm depressed. It was real joy. Again, not necessarily, you know, bubbling up, giddy, want to jump around, turn flips kind of thing, but it was a joy that was deep inside that I knew came from God, that I knew that if something changed right now, it wouldn't go away. It wouldn't go away. That's how real it was to me. I had a whole bunch of scriptures down here about do not be afraid. I mean, there was a ton of them. Let's look at Mark 4, verse 40, if we could, Ron. God says, do not be afraid. When the angel showed up, you know, to somebody in Israel or even when Jesus showed up, you know, walking on the water, you know, what did he have to tell them? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Okay, Mark 4:40. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Again, we kind of established that if you got fear, you probably don't have much faith. Why are you so afraid? Do you not have faith? This is with the disciples in the boat in the water that was tossing them around. Here the Son of God was with them. He was with them, but he wasn't doing them much good in a sense of they were terrified. Even though they had the person that created all this stuff was in the boat with them. And God is saying, Jesus is saying to me and to you, I don't want to be with you any longer. I don't want to be with you in a sense like in the boat. He's just in proximity. Physically in the proximity in my space, if you will. He's saying, I want to be in you, in that sense of with you, in you, intimate in relating with you, so that as you know I'm here, you know that whether you're in a storm being tossed by waves in a boat, or whether you're at work, you know, getting dumped on with a bunch of projects that you're not sure you're going to be able to do, or you're in a relationship with your spouse that's not going well, whatever it is, Jesus is saying, I'm right here with you. I'm right here in the midst of it. I'm in you with this. Have faith in me that we can work this thing together. We can work this thing through together. We can overcome this because I'm here. I'm here in you, with you. And here's the faith that you need to trust me to do it. Here's the joy, if you will, to help you endure through it. I'm here with you. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I think that's all the Lord has at this point. But I think he wants me to reemphasize that he's real. I mean, it seems obvious, right? Yeah, Jesus is real, but we don't act like it. We need faith to know that Jesus is real in our lives, in each individual life here. Not just here, obviously, but in each individual life that he's touching, that he's wanting to be a part of. And God is saying, do not be afraid. Have faith in me. Have faith in me. Have faith in me. That no matter what, I will bring you through. I will protect you in, from whatever it is I don't want to come near you. And whatever I do allow near you, you don't have to worry. I'll bring you through. You don't have to worry. I will never leave you or forsake you. You don't have to worry. I want to be your friend. I want to be, yeah, I believe the Lord wants to say, I want to be your lover. Your lover. Take away the American idea of what that means. Put it back in the Victorian times, okay? The lover, meaning the one who was, you know, who was all pure in that sense. That kind of a lover. Song of Solomon. That kind of a lover, okay? There we go. Thank you, Lord. He wants to be your lover. He wants to be the beloved. He wants you to be his beloved. That's how much he wants of us. And as we allow him to have that relationship with us, where he means more to us than anything else, where he is the one that we wake up looking to, wake up wanting to be with, wake up wanting to hear from, wake up wanting to talk to all day, not just the first 5 minutes of the day. And then, okay, we're done, and you know, go on about our business. He wants to be that person. And as he is that person in our lives, as we have faith in him that he is real to me, real to you, real to us, we have that perfect peace. That peace, that double portion of peace that surpasses all understanding. In other words, it passes all understanding. That, as Brother Lawrence relates in his book, no matter what came up, as he got close to the Lord, as the Lord became his everything, that situations, things that would have got him anxious, got him scared, got him no more. Because he knew he had a friend. He knew he had a God. He knew he had someone with him that would take him through with no problems. That's the wrong word. With no fear. With no anxiousness. And it would turn out perfectly the way God wanted it. Perfectly the way God wanted it. The Lord wants to be our lover. He wants to be our beloved. He wants to be that. And as he says, as you seek him and his righteousness, everything else that we need, that needs to happen for us, in us, with us, will happen. I know we're not there yet, but that's not an excuse. That's just a statement of fact. We're not there yet. And Jesus knows we're not there yet. But he's saying, I'm here to take you there. Not there is a place, but I'm here to take you on that journey, through that path, through those difficulties, to me. To me. I'm here to take you to me. I'm here to take you to the Father. I'm here to take you into my bosom, into the Father's bosom. The Holy of Holies. That's where we need to be. In the presence of God. Always. And so, even though we're not there yet, as I said, we need to ask the Lord to help us. To help us. To help us to put aside the hindrances, the distractions, the things that to not worship the sin, to not worship the difficulties in our lives, but to look to Him as our one and only. For real. For real. Dear Lord, You're asking us not to be afraid, because it is fearful, Lord, as You draw nearer to us, Lord. As You draw nearer to us, wanting to come in and make us, transform us into the image of You, to reconcile us to the Father so that we might have perfect peace, that we might have You with us, in us, all times, at all times, that we would not walk in fear. Your love casts out all fear, Lord. And that's what we want, Lord. We want Your love. We want Your love. And we need to be in Your presence to do it, Lord. We need to be abiding in You to do it. And we don't know how to do it, Lord. We don't know how to do it very well. Yeah, we can say, you know, in our minds, intellectualize it and say, oh yeah, we can do this, this, this. But Lord, until it's real, where it's in us, being wrought in us, we don't know how to do it, Lord. So we're dependent upon You and Your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to help us. Because You are the one that we need. Not more Bible. Not more church. Not more doctrine. Not even more prayers in the sense of praying prayers. But we need You, Lord. We need You. We need You. That's the only way we'll overcome. That's the only way we'll be able to sit on Your throne with You. Is that You are our one and only, our lover, our beloved. The one that we can't live without. Not in the platitudes of saying that, but in the real sense of saying, I can't live without You. Just like You can't live without the Father and live by the Father. That's what we need with You, Lord. We can't live without You. And not in a survival kind of, oh, you know, I just made it. I can, you know, he just got me through. But one where we're more than conquerors, where we're more than just surviving. But there's life. Your life in us, Lord. Your life in us as we live in Your presence, as we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, as we dwell there, Lord, in seeking that. And Lord, when we realize and Your Spirit tells us that we're not there, Lord, help us to get back in. You've opened the way. You said we can come boldly before the throne of God. That's in the Holy of Holies. That's the Ark of the Covenant. That's the mercy seat. That's where the presence of God is. In that sense, looking at that tabernacle, that's where You want us, Lord. Right with You. Where all other things mean nothing. All other things grow strangely dim, no matter what the circumstances may be. And that we feel Your love, and that we know Your love. And we're in perfect peace. Perfect peace. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Give us more faith, Lord, to trust in You. Give us more faith, Lord, to keep asking, to keep fighting that fight of faith, that faith in you. That as now we're still being distracted by things, our flesh, our the world, other things, Lord, but that we would keep fighting by your Holy Spirit, Lord. To have that faith in you that brings us perfect peace, that brings us in that relationship where you're the one and only all day long. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we lift up these elections to you. Lord, not that we get what we want, as our tendency is there, Lord, but that your will would be done.
Yes, Lord.
That your will would be done. And then that your people, Lord, regardless of what happens, would be drawn closer to you, because that's what you're looking for. That we might be a light to this nation. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.